If you don't know who you really are, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, how do you know how to show up? And so if you aren't aware, you come off as fake or canned or trying to be like somebody else, doing what you think leaders should do. And it's also important to add, any strength over-indexed becomes a weakness. And you don't realize that until you've really reflected on your wins and your losses. And so get aware and then be authentic and embrace that and communicate that. I will sit here and tell you, I have failed. I've been reprimanded in work. I've been fired in my career. And a lot of those times it was because of me being grounded in my values and in my beliefs and not willing to waver because of the pressure of what leaders deal with and believing in the right thing. And I'm going to stay the course. And that creates conflict and that makes people uncomfortable if you're in the wrong fit for you at that time in your career.
The idea of job security is outdated as a landline. If you haven't been in a search for a while, it's probable you will at some point, by choice or not. Most executives admit to staying way too long or sense what's coming and justify staying anyway. Here, there's another reason. The faulty belief that navigating to what's next will inevitably be worse and has to suck. Screw that. Lauren Greif has spent a lifetime in corporate and executive search, calling bullshit on stale career advice that most still use. This is Career Blast in a Half, the career podcast for executives ready to cut past outdated career advice to fuel your outcomes now. So let's go.
Don't you just love a big guy who admits that he's a Swiftie? If you don't know who I'm talking about, I am so excited because we have Josiah Pledel here in the house. And for some of you who may not know Josiah, I've been told and I've experienced myself, his heart literally jumping out of his content. His heart is so big and it feels so good even when he comments on your stuff. But his topic today is not altogether mushy-gushy stuff. I mean, we're going to get into some of that and there's a place for it, because the topic that we're talking about today is, why is leadership in crisis? And so, Josiah, so excited to have you here. Welcome to the show. And can you also give a better introduction than the one that I just gave?
Absolutely, Lauren. So I'm so excited to be here, and it's an honor to be with you on your show today. A little bit about me, how I got to where I am is I'm the founder of 45 Degrees Leadership Development Consulting. And prior to that, I was in the corporate world. And before that, I was an educator. And I was a principal of a middle school with about 500 kids. And the societal issues that are pouring into schools, kind of the messiness, the extreme kind of viewpoints where there's no room for a compromise anymore, right? It's either I win or you lose. And if I lose, I'm going to destroy you on social media. And if I win, I'm going to like celebrate that. And so my wife said to me at one point, I have an amazing 5-year-old son and a 3-year-old daughter. And my wife said, I don't want our family to go through what a superintendent of a school district goes through today. And that was my next goal. That was my next like thing that I was chasing. And it led me to kind of explore other things where I went to corporate world and launched a leadership development training program at a company with 700 employees. And that company had an unbelievable culture, 87% favorable on employee engagement, a manager effectiveness score of 90% favorable, all while smashing the revenue mark for the first quarter of 2023 in the 20-year history of the company. And so this company was 700 people. I got to see that you can drive results while also protecting the dignity of others. And this company poured into me so much, and I was so blessed to have been a part of it, but with some of the best leadership development training that is available in the world. And with that, I started to kind of create my own frameworks and my own models, and that's led me to launch my company. And so that's what I'm here to talk about you with today, Lauren, is how we equip leaders to connect their head to their heart and execute emotional intelligence in their leadership with every human interaction.
So please also, just so that we have a reference point, tell us why 45 degrees. What is 45 degrees and how does that relate to leadership?
So I'm in Sheboygan, Wisconsin, right on the beautiful Lake Michigan. And I was fortunate enough to sail on Lake Michigan. And when you're on a sailboat, you feel as powerful as you've ever been and also as powerless as you've ever been based on what Mother Nature decides to do in that moment. And all you can do is adjust your sails, and you can adapt and move to try and overcome the challenges and turn those into opportunities. And so where you set what's called your heading is the direction that you're going to go. And that's the most important thing to figure out is what's your heading? Where are we headed, right? And so when you look at a compass, every direction has a number that goes with it. And so 45 degrees is northeast, which when you look at a line going northeast, it's going up and to the right. And as a business, you want every one of your charts to have a line that's going up and to the right. So when you work with me, we start with the person, the individual level, and we get their growth headed to 45 degrees. And if you get everybody as an individual learning, growing, developing up and to the right, there's no other option that your organization charts are also going to go up and to the right. So that's the name. That's why I came up with it. Lake Michigan has been a massive part of my life, and it's a massive part of our community and our economy. And so it's near and dear to me, and so is leadership and impacting people.
All right. So thank you. I just like set you up to be an educator. I just wanted you to do that so that you would be able to bring us all up to speed. Look, sailing, maps, navigation, and the overall metaphor for the direction that we all want to move our companies in, right?
Yeah.
Now the question, now the million-dollar question. Why is leadership in crisis? Why now? And is it now? Because it seems like it's been in crisis for quite a while. So help us understand why this is the crescendo of crisis or the place that it's like enough already. What has happened and what does this mean?
So a lot has happened since March of 2020, right? I was a dean of students at a large high school on the day when we had an emergency staff meeting after school, and we were told to take all of our technology and go home, and we didn't know when we were coming back, right? And so the global pandemic, I would agree with you that we've always been in crisis, but I think the global pandemic kind of exposed and turbocharged that crisis point. And the reason for that is people are just different after everything we've experienced. It's been hard. It has been a lot. And for a while there, it seemed like there was really no end in sight. And you see it every single day in public, right? You see people talking to the barista at Starbucks differently than they used to. You see the way people deal with law enforcement officers and firefighters and emergency responders. People that are committing their life to help our society are being disrespected in ways that I've never seen before. And at the root of that is because people are hurting. And when we went through the global pandemic and the isolation, it really, really started to draw out in people the all of the challenges that we've experienced, that we've dealt with. So that's kind of the people side, and the people are the core of any success of a company, right? Like the people drive your results. And so you look at what people have gone through, and then you also take into account the external factors of artificial intelligence. It took Netflix 3 years to get to 1 million users. It took ChatGPT 5 days. It's here, it's real. And so it's happening so fast in the changes with artificial intelligence, and that's a piece of it. But you also look at the labor market. Historically, we started with a farming society. It was physical labor. Your body brought value. And then we shifted to the mind with the Industrial Revolution, and then further with the internet and dot-com and all of those things. And now the mind can be, in a lot of cases, just pure competence can be supplemented or automated with emotional intelligence, and we're moving that way very, very rapidly. And so what that leaves is that leadership, and to add value in the workplace, it's not just competence anymore, it's connection. And it's your ability to understand, relate to, inspire, and engage other people. And when you put all of these things together, you arrive at a point that is right now. And the crisis is here. And then you add in the Gen Z is rapidly coming into the workforce as baby boomers are rapidly retiring from the workforce. And it is this perfect storm that has created this leadership crisis. And people don't want to accept the risk and responsibility of leadership. And I started to see this with children. You used to have, you know, the whole football team line up and want to play quarterback. And now in youth sports, you don't have a kid that wants to play quarterback. They don't want the ball in their hands. They don't want to make decisions. And you see it in girls basketball with point guard positions and girls soccer with, you know, the positions that take on a leadership role there. And so it's across the board in youth sports where kids don't want to lead. But then on the adult side, I'm hearing more and more of my friends say, look, I led people. I'm done. I don't want to deal with the politics, the drama, the headaches. I want to show up, do my job, and I want to go home and leave my job at my job and be present as a parent. And so all of these pieces, Lauren, together have put us at what I am very, very confident describing as a leadership crisis.
So these root causes, you know, you've just identified a nice cadre of challenges, the AI, the I'm fed up, the pieces around just how different things are and maybe the lack of respect for others because they're hurting, right? So those are three right off the bat. And so the question is, what do you say to people that are waving their hands and saying, I want a seat at the table? What do you say to those people who aspire to be in leadership positions and what might they need to know in order to do this successfully, given the delta between what it used to be and what the expectations are now?
Yeah, and that's really what led me to create my unique leadership model. And the model that I've created is rooted in the quote of people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And all of those challenges that we talked about, it comes down to the core that positional power doesn't carry what it used to, right? Your title isn't going to get people just to respect you like it used to. And what does get respect is relational power, which is different than positional. And this leadership model is built to equip leaders to be able to execute that. And at the foundation of it is connection. And connection starts with an awareness of yourself and an awareness of others. And when you start to understand other people's needs, challenges, and desires, and you start to reflect on if you are making those easier or more difficult, you start to build a genuine connection that's rooted in empathy and is rooted in the execution. We all talk about empathy, but how do you execute it? You want to know how? You ask rich, open-ended questions that start with how and what, because you get way deeper responses than a why question. And as the other person is talking, you just listen. Needs, challenges, desires. And what have I done to make those easier, more difficult? And that allows you to start listening to empathize rather than listen to understand. And with that connection, then you need to spend time. And time is accessibility and visibility, where connection shifts to chemistry, which is where I know what you're going to say before you say it, Lauren. And I know what you're going to do before you do it. And once you've gotten to that point, here comes the key, competence. Now people are in a position to hear and listen to your skills that have gotten you to this point. But if you lead with competence before connection, people are not going to listen because you are screaming with positional power rather than relational power. So lead with connection to get people in a position to listen and take in and absorb your competence. And so when you start to lead that way, which is what I equip leaders to do through our workshops and coaching, you start to really leverage the power of human connection and capitalize on our collective diversity of thoughts, skills, and experiences. And when you have everybody together working towards a solution to these complex and scary, challenging things that we face as leaders, I'm putting my money on the people every single time, Lauren.
So I want to ask you, I'm going to take you on a little painless derailment. Help us and those who are in the market, on the market, understand the difference between these three things. So you didn't know you were getting a pop quiz. The first one is self-awareness. The second one is showing up authentically. And the third one is this understanding called bring your whole self to work. And the reason why these are, it's kind of like the shell game, right? They borrow from each other. And there's been a lot of pushback. People are like, nobody wants me to bring my whole self to work. And yet people tell me also, if I'm on the market, I should show up authentically. And they really don't want that. They really want somebody who is a better fit, not necessarily a culture ad. So in this world, you reference self-awareness. How do we start pulling apart these different areas so that we can also amplify our leadership, whether it's through thought leadership, which also I'm going to include as commenting and so forth on LinkedIn? How do we do this? How do we dance on the head of this pin?
Well, those are really, really good questions. So
You said rich questions.
What's that?
You said to bring rich questions.
No, I'm here for it. I love this. So I might need you to refresh me, though, as I answer these three things, because they're all complex and unique. So I'll start with self-awareness, all right? So self-awareness is understanding yourself at a deeper level as to your strengths, your weaknesses, everything about you, your triggers, all of the things that kind of make you go. And I was asked today, actually, in a comment, you bring that up on LinkedIn, is how do you develop self-awareness? Well, there's two steps to this for me. One is a formalized personality assessment. And there's all kinds of them out there. You can just Google Strength Finders, Myers and Briggs, all these things you've heard of. But do one of those, all right? And do it with a person that is skilled in breaking down the data and describing that to you in observable behavior, all right? The challenges that we have when we deal with people, we hear the things all the time. I don't feel seen. I don't feel heard. I don't feel valued. What do those mean, right? Like, I'm sorry you don't feel heard or seen, but you know, if you give that as feedback, what action can somebody take from that, right? Like, So in order to coach awareness or emotional intelligence as a whole, you have to take it and put it in observable behavior. So when you start to say, you know, your team members don't feel heard, you know, then you start to phrase that as, you know, this person tells me that you often talk over them, you interrupt them, you don't let them finish your thoughts, you dismiss their thoughts without asking for clarifying questions or reframing it to show that you heard them and understood them by repeating it back to them. You start to break down those observable behaviors, and now you're talking about something that people know and can see and can change versus they don't feel heard, right? And so when you get a good skilled analyst for any of these personality assessments, you get that information, right? They'll break it down and tell you. Now, here's the hard part where most people fail at really taking this to the next level. You have to take what you heard there about how you are hardwired and really spend time intentionally thinking about your major wins and your major losses in life. And how do these hardwired personality traits contribute to both of those? Because they do, right? And so once you're really, really able, like emotionally and mentally and socially ready to take this on, you're not really going to grow in your self-awareness. So once you are aware of yourself, you can start to show up authentically, right? And so the question about showing up as your authentic self, if you don't know who you really are, the good, the bad, the ugly, and everything in between, how do you know how to show up, right? And so if you aren't aware, you come off as fake or canned or trying to be like somebody else, right? And doing what you think leaders should do. And so as your authentic self, once you understand the good, the bad, the ugly, and who you are and how you're hardwired and your strengths and weaknesses, and it's also important to add, any strength over-indexed becomes a weakness. And you don't realize that until you've really reflected on your wins and your losses. And so get aware and then be authentic and embrace that and communicate that. I will sit here and tell you, I've failed. I've been, you know, reprimanded in work. I've been fired, right, in my career. And a lot of those times it was because of, you know, me being grounded in my values and in my beliefs and not willing to waver because of the pressure of what leaders deal with, right? And believing in the right thing, and I'm going to stay the course. And that creates conflict, and that makes people uncomfortable if you're in, you know, the wrong fit for you at that time in your career. And so once you have those, you can start to show up authentic. But then the last piece was, what was the last question?
Here it is. It's, how do I show up as my whole self? Like this kind of catchphrase that came out in, I don't know, years ago. And then there's been more or less an invitation to do this. But when people do this, for the most part, they don't feel like they're welcome. So it's kind of like, here's the door. We're going to open this for you. We say, bring your whole self to work, and oops, don't let it kick you on the way out. So where does that live?
So this is something that I'm really passionate about, because I at the beginning of my career, it was the understanding that, you know, once you hit that time clock, everything outside is left at that door, and you go into work, and when you leave work, you can start to think and deal with those other things. And that has never been true. That has never been real, right? Like, no matter where you go, you're bringing your whole self with you. And you might be able to hide it and mask it for a little bit, but eventually your whole self is going to show itself. And we all bring, you know, our home life to the workplace. And I know for sure, and it's not always good, I've brought my work life to my home life, right? And so that's the reality of it. And I think it takes skills to manage that, right? Like, and that's where we're at as a different point, is people are starting to say, like, okay, I want to honor your whole self. And if we're going to do that, we have to understand and be aligned and clear on what that looks like in behavior, right? So we need clarity, alignment, and then you sprinkle on support and help people grow and develop. And if you as a leader haven't been clear in building the clarity and alignment, please don't punish or reprimand people for bringing their whole self, because what that does is that immediately damages trust. And you commented today, trust takes a long time to build and it can be destroyed in an instant. And so if you as a leader are not clear in defining what the agreed upon expectations are and then defining what that looks and feels like in real life, do not reprimand on that topic. You have work to do on yourself and your leadership before you can bring discipline onto your team and to others. And if you don't do that, that's on you, and it's your leadership position and it's up to you. But just know, people aren't going to trust you. People are not going to have the psychological safety to act and behave not even as their whole self, but not even as their self. They're going to start to behave in a way that they believe you want them to show up, in a way that you want them to behave. And that is a very, very scary, toxic place. And your team isn't going to be happy. And ultimately, you as a leader are not going to be happy.
Yeah, I love that you said, you know, do not reprimand. And also set those expectations, right? And I think we all need to set those expectations of, you know, bring my whole self to work doesn't mean I get to be mouthy, because my whole self sometimes can be. It just means that, yeah, that's true. It can be, you know, that I'm outspoken or direct, right? I don't have to. I love the way that you talked about an asset that can also go awry and become a character defect, and then become, you know, it's good to bring your whole self, but, you know, with some reason behind it. And I think that that really talks about the area with respect to trust and crisis and leadership and some of the toxicity that has really poisoned a lot of the perception and even the reality, let's face it, of being in corporate America. And so because leadership is in crisis, help us also to understand what this means for this very precious and a number of years ago in high demand area, diversity and inclusion, and what is happening now with respect to a lot of the crisis around budget cuts, a lot of concerns, especially during election years, that things like this are compromised. How does this impact us in general? And specifically, if you are looking for a chief diversity officer role, if you are somebody that is in HR and is dealing with the fact that budgets have been cut and cut and cut and cut. So help us with this and this area of leadership.
So this is something that's really just sad to me, is we've gotten to a point where certain words, phrases almost have become weaponized, right? And so if I would have said to you 5 years ago, is there anything wrong with the word diversity, equity, or inclusion?
No.
Nobody in their right mind would have said those are terrible things. Those are bad ideas, right? Like, I my PhD is in special education. I worked diligently to equip children with disabilities to enter life after high school in post-secondary world. Like, inclusion was at the core of what I believed as an educator with kids with disabilities. And I believe we're all better when we're together. But this idea of DEI and the phrasing of that term has gotten politicized and away from what it really means. And you look at our country and what we're founded on and the base of the Statue of Liberty, give us your weak, give us your weary, like we'll take them all. Like, that's what America is. And step away from the political nature of DEI and that term, and start to get back to the root of what makes us great as a country. And that is diversity of thought, diversity of experiences, diversity of skill sets, and this willingness to accept and to embrace, but then to leverage those to win on the biggest stages, to be the first country to put a person on the moon, to dominate in the Olympics, to represent the United States as the city on the hill, the ideal representation of what a society can be. And this is the greatest experiment that this world has ever seen as far as democracy. And we can't continue to weaponize words like DEI, or on the other side, patriot, or all of these words that now just have this different meaning than what they actually mean. And so let's move away from having to talk DEI and just start talking about kindness and shared values and shared purpose, and get the discussion back to the idea that we all add value, and you're not going to ask me to change to meet your desires of what a person should be. And I'm not going to ask you to change yours, because we're going to accept each other and our differences and experiences, skills, and thought. And we are going to figure out how we can utilize that together to make this world a little bit better than it was yesterday.
Yeah, this is scary. It's scary that it's come this far. And I know that you're in the thick of it. And quite honestly, I'm on the other side of the thickness as well. So I'm glad that we're meeting in the middle and, like, hopefully creating a better sandwich, right?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, we have to get back to a point where we can compromise, right? I'm not trying to get it all societal. I'm just talking about at work, right? Like, this idea that, in conflict resolution, we're going to approach this as a way to win, right? Well, the power is in if you start to look at it as a way to collaborate, right? And and you get curious. That is the superpower of life, and that is the cure of so many personal challenges and societal challenges, is let's just get more curious and seek to understand, right? And once we really understand, then we can move forward in a way that is going to produce solutions that neither of us knew or were competing about at the beginning, right? Like that's what happens when we work together. And I'm not talking necessarily compromise, but like, let's collaborate to create abundance solutions, right? Things that we didn't even know existed before we engage in that dialogue. And I went on a soapbox there because I'm concerned about our whole society, but I honestly believe that if you fix leadership and work, it is going to have a transfer effect on fixing society because we spend the majority of our time at work. There's studies now that show a manager at work has more of an impact on you than your spouse, right? Or your therapist. Like, this is the reality. And so as leaders in the workplace, these are societal issues, and I'm going to leave them there and not get political, but at the core of it are people issues, right? And in the workplace and the leadership and work is where we have to get these right, so that people can then leave work and go get it right out there in the world.
This is killing me in a both good and bad way. Grateful that you're out here in the world advocating for this in a huge way, and sorry because it's such a systemic problem that is spilling over into so many areas. Some generational, right? We know that, and our kids are watching us. We're all leaders, especially in some of the quietest moments. We don't know ever who's really watching. So what I would love to do as we are wrapping up some of these questions is really offer you some airtime to talk to people who aspire to be leaders, who hear this term and think, oh, I want to do that. I it sounds really glamorous. It sounds amazing. You know, I really like the idea of having this much responsibility or being in a situation whereby they have a big title or they're making a lot of money. Well, what are some things that you want to either say as a suggestion or maybe even a heads up?
So that is a great question. And I wish, right, if you start this as I wish this is something somebody would have told me at the beginning of my career, is I was driven by money. I was driven by growth. I am hyper, hyper competitive. I want to win. And so much of the time you think that winning is that big title. It's that big salary. It's the corner office. And I will tell you something that most leadership development coaches will not tell you. Leadership is hard. It is the most challenging thing you will do professionally. And it's not all balloons and ice cream cones and celebrations and being in the front of the room, right? It is way more complex than that. It's way more hairy than that. And knowing that, if your motivation is money and titles, you will cave to the pressures, the demands, and the challenges of leadership. That's real. If your motivation becomes about impact and enriching the lives of others on your team, as your customers, as your vendors, everybody you come in contact with, you will start to build the ability to take on the challenges of what it means to lead in today's world. And the final piece I'll tell you, I have a great connection with people that have served in the special forces, and it's a Navy SEAL line that says, people will follow fear, but they will die for love. And I'm not here to tell you that people need to die in order to move your business forward, but what I will tell you is that the power is in that message, is that when you have people that care and that are committed to you and a cause bigger than you and the team and the collective success, and they know that you love them and they love you, look out, Lauren, because there are not many challenges that group of individuals working together will not be able to overcome. And so if you're looking to lead, connect, make it about impact. The ultimate goal is legacy. And you will equip yourself to make a difference in today's landscape. And I'm here to help.
I love that. thank you for sharing that, because it was so from the heart and it also was the perfect truth bomb. So we have three signature questions, and I love getting to this part because it's kind of like we're kind of off script, and not that there is a script, come on, but you know what I mean. We just get to like mess around. So my first question is, and I always like bring these out when I'm doing these, like, you know, I'm a big Post-it girl. I like live for these Post-its. I have one on my forehead. And so what's yours? What's your, what is a Post-it that somebody would, you know, be writing down at the end of the show and thinking to themselves, ooh, you know, Josiah said this, and, you know, either from this or just something that you use personally that is a important reminder.
So like my Post-it note that would keep me like on course and on track to live my best life.
Sure. For leadership, for anything that is going to kind of keep your head in the game.
So I was very fortunate to have the best mentor in the world when I worked in public education. And he was super successful in building school districts that excelled academically, extracurricular, like every which way. Some of the best school districts in the state of Wisconsin were built under his leadership. And his key thing to me that he told me over and over, and I never forget this, and I hear him saying it all the time, is don't believe your own BS. And behind that message was, it's never as good as you think it is, and it's never as bad as you think it is. And so keep that perspective as you face the challenges of whatever life might throw at you. But at the root of it is, know that you're small and you're minor, and honestly, people don't really care about you. And so just show up, seek to add value, seek to make an impact, and keep going, and life's going to be good, and you will be rewarded.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you're well-read, and you like soak up a lot of information, probably like got a great leadership library. I can only imagine. I'm like, I have this whole vision of you and your little, you know, Tay-Tay thing going on with your books in your lap. But is there a pivotal leadership book? I mean, the evolution of leadership is changing all the time. So is there a classic? Is there something that you would say, hey, you want to know about leadership? Read this. What might that be?
So there's so many to think of, but I mean, to me, the seminal work in leadership and impact is How to Win Friends and Influence People. And I make myself reread that book. Not enough, right? Like, I mean, honestly, I should read that book every 90 days, like every quarter, because it's that monumental. And so that's kind of like the foundational piece. But for me, a book that has impacted me tremendously, really, I would have to say is the book Thanks for the Feedback.
Mm.
Have you read that book, Lauren?
I don't think I have, no.
So this book was written by two professors at Harvard. And the foundation of it is that we spend all this time training people on how to give feedback. What would be possible if we train people on how to receive feedback? And it really goes into what I talked about how it's not as good or as bad as you think, and your own BS, don't believe it. But it teaches you about understanding your triggers, understanding your own biases, and equips you to accept the feedback and then determine if it adds value or not. And so it really, really opens you up to not just feedback, but human interaction, right? Because people are always giving you feedback. It's body language, right? As you're talking to somebody, you're taking in feedback from the nonverbals, right? And so it's every human interaction, I think, has been transformed by that book for me. Thanks for the feedback.
I'm like, I'll be getting it by the end of the day. I'm kind of
well. Let me know what you think about it.
I will. Oh, I promise. I promise. You know how I'm like good with the follow up. So I definitely will. And then the last question, I can't wait, is what's your walk up song?
My walk up song?
Yeah, your walk up song.
So it's the song that me and my lovely and supportive wife came out to at our wedding reception. and it's by Andy Grammer, and it's called Hallelujah, It's Good to Be Alive. And the song is about that, about how I've been through some rainstorms, challenges, rough things, but look around and it is a great day to be alive. Hallelujah. Embrace it. Be real. Be who you are. And if you look for beauty, you're going to find it, Lauren. If you're not looking for it, you're going to find something else.
Amen to that. Josiah, I will make sure that your links are in the show notes. Please, you got to check out this guy's content. Oh my gosh. I can't wait for a flurry of new followers to be like, is it out yet? So get ready. Make sure you follow Josiah and also check out his company, 45 Degrees, especially if you are in a position in your organization that is dying for strong leadership and also productivity with the head and the heart together. For those of you who have stuck around, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And please, if you haven't subscribed, go ahead and do that right now so that you get notified and never miss another episode of Career Blast and a Half. So I want to thank you all for listening. We love you from my heart, from my head, from all over the place. I'm smiling so big. I hope you can hear my smile. So look forward to talking and seeing you soon next week.
Thank you for joining today. We appreciate your listening ears, big time. We ask this, use these tools, not tomorrow, right now, and share them by spreading the love, leaving us a rating and subscribe so you don't miss the next Career Blast in a Half. Most of all, thank you for you.